thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Praise the Lord. It's great to be alive. It's even greater to be alive unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins. And will a point in time come when He'll unite us with Himself? And what a glorious thought that is. And we're thinking today about part two of our little series, which was Jesus the Saviour, the Healer, the Baptizer and the Holy Spirit, and the coming King. So we're going to be looking at a portion of Scripture today from the Psalms. Do you know, it's hard not to have a favourite psalm, but ask you all, I'm sure likely you could tell me, what's your favourite psalm? And this is one for me, is up there on the list of top 10 psalms that I love. So it's Psalm 103, so it is, and let's read it. Let's read the whole chapter there, 22 verses. By the way, if you're here today, maybe for the first time, I hope you feel welcome. I do welcome you in Jesus' name. And for the rest of you that normally attend, you're also welcome. Just make that point. So it's great to be in Christ and to live our lives unto Him. Even though we fail sometimes, God knows our heart and would seek to lift us up on every occasion when we fall down. So Psalm 103, let's read it. A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindnesses and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. God's word is new and fresh again this morning to us. And I'll say this, that I'm so inadequate in one sense. And I remember what Pastor Dempster said. He says, you know me by now, I'll keep it simple. And so it will be simple rather than an exposition of his word this morning. I want to just draw your attention to the season that we're in. It's springtime, isn't it? And we're all familiar with spring season. It's a season of renewal. We're in the Northern Hemisphere. So that being the case, spring season starts on the 1st of March. Or the astronomical calendar is the 20th of March. Astronomical is to do with the Earth's orbit and tilt. So starting on the vernal equinox, the word equinox comes from a Latin words equus, which is equal, and then nox, which is night, referring to roughly the length of day being equal to the length of the night. So, and springtime lasts through to the 31st of May, and then, of course, transitions into summer. But it's a special time of year for me. I love it because you can see everything coming to life after the winter period. And it is amazing to think about how that everything just works out. And we've nothing to do. We don't have to contribute anything to that, really, in a sense. No matter who you are, you can't ignore the fact that when springtime comes, you get out and you travel through the countryside, there's such a freshness and such a vibrant new look about the place, isn't there? The grass gets greener, the buds come out in the hedgerows, and everything looks lush and green. And you take a closer look, then you get down into it, and you see what's happening is that the nutrients in the soil are being uptaken by the roots and the plants or the trees, and the sap is rising through those trunks and those branches, and then the buds form on the end of those branches, and you can see the new growth about to burst out. Last Sunday is the last time I saw my back garden because I was away for a few days, and I come back on Thursday evening, and what a change there was. The buds had just opened up, and this was particularly for the hedgerows and the trees, and the growth had just sprang into being. Now, I knew it was going to happen, but there's nothing really prepares you for it. I just look at it and I think, that's just amazing. That's the kind of person I am. But look at the other things, like flowers forming on trees, like the apple trees. And there's little flowers there. And the same with the cherry tree. The fruit is forming. And if it's a fruit tree, it'll naturally grow whatever kind of fruit it's destined to be. But the cycle of life has begun. The dormancy of the winter gives way to new life, and it is marvellous. Do you ever wonder where your food comes from? Well, yes, it comes from the supermarket, but it's also, if you read the packet, all right, if you list something a wee bit just out of the ordinary, let's say that you read the label and it says, oh, this is a produce of Honduras, right? Honduras is quite a bit away in the world, and this is a perishable product, like bananas or coffee. They export coffee as well. But the climate and the conditions are right to grow those two crops, and then we benefit from them. And how did they get here? Well, they wouldn't have travelled by boat because that'd be too slow. So they came by air freight. And no wonder does that ever cost you, I thought. You know, very often we're just of the mind that we just go in the shop and we buy what's there and don't think about where it come from until you read the label and you say, oh, product of Honduras or Morocco or Australia. I remember doing talking to somebody one day and they said they'd been away in Australia. And I asked them, what were you doing there? And they said, oh, we're picking fruit. And I said, what sort of fruit? And they said, well, peppers. And she says, why did you get into doing that? Or I said, and she said, oh, we just happened to be there, students, and you know, it's what students do, we're out picking fruit. And yes, someone has to pick the fruit, pack it, get it into an airplane and send it over. to this part of the world, and then we benefit. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest is cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. What great a promise is that? It shall not cease. And so therefore we can benefit from all this produce that God has created in his world. I wonder, do you reckon that God has created all things for our enjoyment, for our benefit? And I wonder, do we really be thankful for it? Well, the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember them. Remember that whenever you go to take a bite of an apple, that's an apple that was grew in an orchard somewhere, and God was the one who made it grow. Yes, there was a grower, a person who treated that plant and made it grow as best as possible. And God also said, given seed to the sower and the produce of the land to benefit us. Consideration of new growth. Look at the new growth and see how it comes into being. And a crop will yield and create sometimes 100-fold. So one seed will create 100 other seeds that will be for produce. The sovereign creator who has created everything in nature renews and replenishes what is good and precious to life. Another dimension to plant nature is this threat that is there. If you know anything about growing things, you know that there's always something that's a threat to good health. And it's the same in life. There's always a little bit of a threat, particularly when you get older. You realise that we're only here for a period of time, and then our health sometimes deteriorates. And then disease sets in. Now, it's not natural. It's unnatural that that would be the case, and it's not God's intention to bring about disease. In a sense, it came about as a result of man's disobedience. Remember, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what we have in our hearts, that God has ordered things in a certain way. But yet there's this other influence, this other man of sin that has came about and made this world different from what it was intended. It's the fall. It's the sinful nature that's in us. So in a plant sense, it appears as if, you know, there's a small blemish. If you look closely at the leaf, you can see a little spot appearing. And so it could be that is fungal or a viral. It's an infection and it caused a disease. And what is disease? It's just really something that's abnormal to health. And it could be a number of things. But left untreated, what would happen is that it would affect the yield, and then possibly you'd have total crop failure. So the grower's not going to let that happen. They're going to have to do something in order to have that yield as maximum as possible. Remember now, they want the 100-fold of increase, and to get that, they're going to have to avoid disease. So the Elam Foursquare Gospel Alliance is the Pentecostal denomination founded over four key beliefs: Savior, Healer, Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and Coming King. We're looking today at the aspect of Healer, Jesus the Healer. And we're going to have a time before we finish here, the opportunity for you to come. If you have a prayer need for anything physical or mental, you have a problem with something and you want to bring it to our attention, we will pray for you as elders. And you'd be doing this by faith that God would work in some aspect of your life. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, for its prophecy of Jesus as the suffering servant. is used to teach us, teach that Jesus willingly suffered to provide spiritual and physical healing, an atonement for sin, and reconciliation with God. We reckon our lives unto God, and therefore, what manner of people ought we to be in our walk with God? To choose to do what's right, to obey, and even when it comes to obeying Him, that we sometimes think we should sacrifice, when actually obedience is more important. Obedience to God's word brings us into that right relationship as a believer with Him. Jesus chose obedience to the divine plan of salvation, to be humble and submit Himself to the resolute authority over Satan, victoriously defeating him there at the cross. Thank God for the plan of salvation, that it wasn't just a plan in itself, it was also to execute that which brings about restoration. Do you know, sin, the atonement for sin, is something that we cannot really fully comprehend. What it cost God to send His Son, the immensity of that sacrifice is beyond description. Do you know, Jesus invites us, knowing that we've been forgiven, that our hearts are purged from sin, and we don't forget that we should assemble ourselves together on the first day of the week, and that we should come and present ourselves before God and have this fellowship one with another. And Jesus then said, take up your cross and follow me. Imagine you were back in Jesus' day, and you happen to be a passerby, and Jesus comes walking, and He said to you, follow me. What would you do? Well, there was 12 people that He did that with, and guess what? 12 out of 12 followed Him, and they became disciples. I wonder, are you a disciple of God today? And if you are, well, then you'll want to do what's right, and you'll want to follow Him with your whole heart. And I know, maybe most of you are in that category, but if you haven't fully decided that you can choose to lay down your life and follow Jesus, because He's a great Savior and He's a great Lord, there is none other like Him. Do you know, similar to plants, we ourselves experience health. Okay, if you're healthy, that's brilliant. So it is. And the well-being aspect of our lives, sometimes we need to take medicine. But we're mostly aware of the example of a common cold. So what would you take if you had a common cold? If you listen to advertising, you'd probably take the cold and flu remedy, medicine of some kind. But will it really help you? The chances are it has to run its course, and no amount of medicine you could take would actually bring a remedy. But it may help, and maybe some of you disagree with that, but I think when I get the cold, right, I say, box of tissues, that'll do it. yes, it has to run its course, and then afterwards there's no ill effects. Sure, there's no ill effects, really. The common cold, everybody gets it. Is there anybody here, hands up, who doesn't get the cold at all? No hands up. All right. So, not so a more serious illness, all right? And when I say a serious illness, your mind will start to go there, to those things that you have had experience of, either mental or physical. A serious illness is something that it just doesn't go away, keeps lingering, and you know that it's no easy solution to it. If you just ignore it, it won't run its course. You've got to go to the doctor or to someone who may help you with some kind of treatment. Do you know, there are various views within Christianity regarding whether God ever uses sickness for a purpose. Ooh, that's a deep subject. But many teachings focus on God's desire for healing and wholeness, and that's the intention that I want to put forth today. Healing and wholeness is God's desire for his people. If he's put in us the desire to work and serve him, for what it's worth, at least therefore we put our effort into it, why then would he allow us to have some kind of ailments? Now, I know Paul, the apostle, had some kind of ailment, and God didn't cure that for Paul, but he worked through it, and he lived with it. Classic verse, the words of Jesus, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So this verse, to me, suggests that sickness is the thief's work and not God's work. Like, if I was to think that God would give good things and then he would do despiteful things, I don't think I would follow God. But I follow God because I know he's the giver of all good things. And yet sometimes he allows these things, which are maybe in a sense curtailing our experience to live physically and mentally well. But nevertheless, he enables us to know that there's a process there. And it's for his purpose and it's for his good will and pleasure. Humbling as this statement may be, the thief comes only to kill, steal and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Do you know what is the fullness of life? There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life for the whosoever that will come and put their trust in Jesus as Saviour and Lord. So humbling as this statement is, it's a contrast between what's really, really negative and what's really, really positive. It's polar opposite. It's humbling then to think about this as a fact, that we are no more or less suffering under the disease of sin if we have confessed our sin to the Lord. He enables us to know the blessedness of sin's forgiveness and peace with God. Yes, you may have to live with some ailment, some disease, something that really curtails you from living life to the full, but that's not God's intention. And that's why we're having a prayer line today, that you can come and we can pray for you, as James 5 in the Bible determines. So we will do that later. So there's the opportunity for you to come, and we believe in the prayer of the righteous person can avail much, and God encourages us to do this as believers. What a great comfort it is to know that there is a great physician who is both able and willing to heal us, and it's his desire to work, and we've seen that in Jesus' ministry through the Gospels and beyond that, into the Acts of the Apostles, and beyond that, when the disciples began to work, they received the Holy Spirit, then they could do great things, the things that God enabled to them to do through faith. So let's think of Jesus the healer this morning, and let's think about him. His cures are very speedy. There is life for a look at him. His cures are radical. He strikes at the center of disease, and so he cures. His cures are sure and certain. He never fails, and disease never returns. There is no relapse where Christ heals. There is no fear that his patients should be merely patched up. He doesn't do half a job. Do you know, you go to your GP, and yes, he looks at you and he sees that maybe something can be done, but not quite sure and doesn't have the expertise to diagnose this, so has to make a referral, you know. And contrast that then with Jesus, and he knows immediately what's wrong. And he knows even before you get up off your seat to come to get prayer for what you have need of. And he sees you where you are. He never feels, and the disease never returns. Maybe that's controversial. Maybe that's just our human thought process. Yes, if I go for healing and I seek the Lord for healing, will it last? And the answer is, let's see. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I learned that years ago. If you don't venture into something, then you will not gain. But you got to put your faith in action. You got to put feet to your prayers. And so faith in action is what God really looks for. You know, half-hearted prayers aren't prayers at all. You know, you got to be really resolute in your mind, in my thinking, and maybe in your thinking too. Put forth the prayer. Believe it. If you have a burden in your heart, leave it with him. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. So what does Jesus do? Well, he heals. No fear that his patients should be merely patched up for a season. He makes new men and new women of them. He also gives them a new heart and puts a right spirit within them. He is well skilled in all diseases. Physicians generally, well, we said it there, have some speciality, although, you know, they know lots about little things, but not the human body is so complex, isn't it? There's such a complexity of things going on that, you know, and our brains don't have to even comprehend what's going on. We just have to think about where we're putting our next step and the words that we're going to speak. We have to think. But all the other bodily functions operate as normal without us having to think about it. Isn't that right? Although doctors know a little about pains and ills, there's usually one disease that they've studied more so than others, and that's why then they're specialists, and you've got to go to the city hospital for this specialism, not just your GP surgery. But Jesus is thoroughly acquainted with the whole human nature. He is much more at home with one sinner as with another. He has never met an unusual case that was too difficult for him. Let's think about that. The unusual case, maybe a psychological disorder or a neurological disorder that you're facing, and in which case Jesus knows what's going on. He knows the very root cause of that disorder, and he's well able and acquainted with these things in order to heal them. Don't ask me how. And if you come to me expecting to give me to give you an explanation in every case, it's just not going to happen. But Jesus knows, and that's more important. He gives us the only true panacea. Now, what's that? That's an old word, I think. The Greek, healing in every instance. Okay, so it's a Greek word. It means cure all for every solution, intended to solve all problems, difficulties, or diseases. Now, little wonder it's a little known word, because there isn't any such thing in modern medicine, really. But yes, if you have a heart condition, you'll go and see a heart specialist. I watched a heart operation on YouTube recently, and the person who was there was 89 years old. They were getting a valve changed between the chambers, and the surgeon that was there doing it had done the operation. Everything was ready to close up. And they realized once they restarted the heart again that there was a leak in one of the chambers. Stop the heart, undo some of the work he'd done, try again, and no, that didn't work either. So at this point in time, someone was sent to go and speak to the relatives to say, here, we have encountered a little problem, that's why it's taking a bit longer, but we're going to go this last time, third time now, and we think that we can fix it. And sure enough, stopped the heart, went and done whatever we thought was the right thing to cure this leak, because they couldn't just close the heart up with knowing there was something wrong. They couldn't do that. So they had one more go at it. And this is the idea of the human aspect of being a surgeon, right? First of all, you're going to be a caring type person. You're going to understand that there are relatives of this patient sitting out in the waiting room expecting the news that the operation's a success. But it's not always the case. And sometimes that person has to come and tell the relatives, all's not well. Imagine doing that job. But the surgeon goes at it one last time, third time, and solves the problem of the leaking valve and gets it fixed, closes it all up, and whew, yeah, that's what it's like to be a surgeon. How much more so is it like for Jesus, the great physician, to just say the word, put the touch, just like JT was saying there. A touch from the Master's hand is all that's needed. The great physician. There's no brokenness of heart that Jesus cannot bind up. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We only have to think of the myriads of those who have been delivered from all sorts of diseases through the power and virtue of his touch that's recorded for us in scriptures. Even the very shadow of the disciples cast on those who were sick was enough to make them well. That's the power of Jesus using ordinary people to fulfill his purposes. Joyfully we put ourselves in his hands. We trust him and sin dies. We love him for his grace lives. I wonder, do you love the Lord today? I wonder, is the power of God at work in you because you have desired to meet him where he is and that he would do the exploits through you? Think about those people who have worked for him in centuries past, and we can read about them now, and they've done exploits for God, but they were still only sinners saved by grace. They were able to do lots of things with the skill that God had given them. And it's the same for the surgeon. God given them skill and the intent to make people well again, and having the know-how and the technology that is available to them to use it to prolong life, to bring health and well-being to people in need, is the greatest thing. Your soul is precious to God, more precious than your body, which is temporal. Your soul is what matters to God. And if you have trusted the Lord, then you will know the salvation of God working in your heart. So through obedience, you will know that God does more than we could even ask or think through faith in you. Your faith is important to God. Your presentation before God, that you would do something that would please him in service. Whatever he gifts you in, it's really important to follow him and to find out what it is that would give you encouragement, that you could work for him in some small way that would bring him honor. So as we wait for him, that the grace that would strengthen us as we meet together here today, this is meant to strengthen us in fellowship, the breaking of bread, rejoicing in God and fellowship. Somebody said to me one time, why did certain one not turn up for the meeting? They're missing out in the fellowship. And it occurred to me at that point in time, it wasn't a fellowship meeting, but it was actually a cycle club meeting. And this person, who is Stephen Crawford, actually, by the way, you'll know him, Glenn. Stevie said to me, but they're not coming here just for an ordinary meeting. They should come for the fellowship. And it struck a chord with me, and I remember that well. And it's also important for us as believers to come together on the first day of the week. And yes, present a request to God. Come and break bread together. Come and pray together. Come and fellowship together. And that we can leave here today knowing that we're stronger believers, stronger Christians than when we first came in through the door. And that's important, isn't it? And God knows our hearts. He is strong even though we are weak. He has got our best interests at heart. So if you're here today and you know the Lord, well then work in what He has gifted you to do. And through His good pleasure and His will, He will bring all things to pass. Think about how Daniel, whenever he went and he prayed openly, that not in a sense that everybody would hear, but others who were against him would know that he prayed to his God. And when he did that, then he had the opposition against him. But God did exploits through Daniel. And I have this saying, it's a song actually. It's dare to be a Daniel. I wonder would you have daring in your heart to do with the things that God would place in your heart that would be a little bit risky. As JT would say here sometimes, you know, there's no gain without a little bit of risk. So, and that in today's world is a nonsensical term, because you don't enter into risk where you could bring about some harm to yourself. But the Christians who look at it is that I'm expendable for God. My life for His life is worth living unto Him. Yes, it brings opposition. There are those who won't like the message that you have to share. But Daniel stood fast and he said, even if my God is not able to deliver me from the lion's mouth, I've still got purpose. And the purpose is that God would do something through you as a believer. It's so important to put forth His word and learn it. Learn the scriptures. Commit them to memory and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, because His name is far above every other name. He is the Savior. He's the healer. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And He's the coming King. And He is gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. Maybe you're on, at one stage, the path of destruction, and you realized, and you've got to trust in the Lord, that He would do something significant to make you turn around. It's called repentance and trust. Trusting the Lord is like a breath of fresh air. All right? It's like how I refer to it is like realizing that you're on the path of destruction. It's a slippery slope. And you're going down to a pit from where there is no return. And you realize that there's a side chute, a little side road. And the offer of invitation is to you there. Take this side road because it leads to everlasting life. No one's getting off on this path that leads to everlasting life. But you can. Trusting in the Lord that you can take Him at His word. So, I'll invite the music team up. And James 5, just going to read this. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let him pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. And the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Praise God for that promise. We're going to act on it today. I hope you will enter in and join us as We let God have his way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He'll direct them in righteousness and joy and peace.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.